Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as you said during this session, we are living through a crossroads in history right now. On the one hand, we have multidimensional crises that are becoming more acute throughout the world, and they bring in their wake inequality, environmental damage, and mass violations of human rights. On the other hand, we do have the capacity, the ways and means that we need to overcome these challenges if states commit themselves to working alongside their peoples. We deplore the fact that some states have not understood or do not want to understand that we are at this historic turning point, nor do they understand the potential and the importance of the document under discussion. As has already been said, we are now at a stage where the future instrument is ready to be adopted. While some criticisms and proposals have been voiced this week that were constructive in nature, others were not, and were clearly intended to change the very nature of the content of the future covenant. However, the purpose of this exercise is very clear. We want to give genuine effect to the right to development. We deplore the fact that the working group has not reached consensus because of the hostility of some powerful states. On the other hand, we have not understood the position taken by the delegations of some Southern Hemisphere countries who seemed not to understand what the right to development actually means. As has been repeatedly explained within this working group, the right to development is a human right. And it is an overarching right covering all other human rights. It is the synthesis of both civil and political rights and economic, social and cultural rights. Chair, allow me to recall two passages from Resolution 1998-72. This is at the heart of the mandate of this working group, and some delegations seem to have forgotten that. I now quote, "The unacceptable situation of absolute poverty, hunger, disease, lack of adequate shelter, illiteracy and hopelessness remains the lot of over 1 billion people. Further, the existence of widespread absolute poverty inhibits the full and effective enjoyment of human rights and renders democracy and popular participation fragile." End of quote. Nowadays, that is to say, 25 years after the adoption of the aforementioned resolution, the number of people whose lot is absolute poverty and suffering is 4 billion, because of the dominant development model imposed throughout the world. We see that natural resources are becoming ever more scarce and that the natural environment has been deeply damaged as a result. Undoubtedly, this situation will trigger even more destructive conflicts in future. We're in an emergency situation. It is urgent that we take action. In conclusion, Chair, we wish to reiterate our thanks to the drafting group for the job of work done under your guidance with support from the Secretariat. And we hope that some delegations who appear to have lost their way somewhat in this room will get back on track in New York. Chair, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your kind attention.